forthcoming. I don't know where those reports are coming from, but they're false.
Flags will fly at half staff across Michigan for the next 6 days in memory of six people murdered in Kalamazoo over the weekend. Jason Dalton reportedly had been driving people around in Kalamazoo for Uber between the shootings. He's scheduled to be arraigned today. Men are making more money than women on eBay. Researchers say women make 20% less than men on average when selling the exact same new product on eBay. You're listening to USA Radio News.
As medication therapies become more complex, the need for board-certified pharmacists continues to grow. William Ellis is the executive director of the Board of Pharmacy Specialties.
The success of any healthcare team depends on the knowledge and experience of each of its members, which is why specialization has become increasingly important. BPS board-certified pharmacists are uniquely qualified to manage medication regimens, monitor for and prevent adverse drug reactions, recommend the most cost-effective treatments, and work with other healthcare providers to improve patient outcomes.
For 40 years, BPS has required extensive education, training, and experience, as well as a rigorous examination for certification. Today, almost 25,000 pharmacists are BPS board certified in 8 specialties.
BPS board certified pharmacists are a distinct group of pharmacy professionals who are on the leading edge of patient care and will play an increasingly significant role in reducing medication errors, lowering healthcare costs, and ensuring that patients receive the best care possible.
To learn more, visit bpsweb.org.
The nation said goodbye to Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia over the weekend. USA's Melody Burkett has more.
Vice President Joe Biden, members of Congress, and all 8 remaining Supreme Court justices joined the Scalia family for Saturday morning service at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. Reverend Paul Scalia, who led the funeral mass for his dad, even shared a humorous memory of his father.
The issue that evening was not that I'd been hearing confessions, but that he had found himself in my confessional line, and he quickly departed it. As he put it later, like heck if I'm confessing to you.
The 79-year-old Scalia was found dead last weekend at a resort in West Texas. The conservative Scalia had served on the high court since 1986. I'm Melody Burkett.
A man accused of trying to place an obituary notice for Hillary Clinton has been reported to the Secret Service. The man identified himself as Don Schubert and was asked to leave the Las Vegas Review-Journal's lobby on Friday. This is USA Radio News.
GEICO applauds your inner road champion.
A solid bump from GEICO's fist to yours goes out to the little rebel that lives within. The one who made you daydream as a kid about owning a chopper, chroming it out, and chewing on toothpicks. Just to look tough. For you, champ, GEICO insures motorcycles with great rates. And to further fuel your engine, you can access your policy anytime, day or night, through the GEICO mobile app. Because GEICO knows that even make-believe renegades need help from time to time.
GEICO Motorcycle. See how much you could save.
A diabetes drug could help lower the risk of recurring strokes and heart attacks. A trial done at Yale University finds that the drug sold as Actos decreased the number of cardiovascular incidents by nearly a quarter through a 5-year span. A different study done in 2006 found the drug reduced risk for heart attacks and strokes, but not for those who had experienced one previously. People who undergo heart surgery or suffer a cardiac event are typically prescribed a cardiac rehabilitation program as part of their recovery process. Dr. Leslie Cho with the Cleveland Clinic says cardiac rehab is one of the best things the heart patients can do to improve their odds of survival, as well as their quality of life.
REACT is not an exercise program. You exercise in a hospital with an exercise physiologist, with nurses and doctors, and we gradually build up your exercise capacity.
Cardiac rehab is a 12-week program that's suited to each person's functional capacity. Patients will typically exercise 3 days per week for about an hour each day, in addition to meeting with a nutritionist. And most cardiac rehab is paid for by insurance after you've had a heart event or a surgery. Dr. Cho says multiple studies have shown that folks who do cardiac rehab actually live longer, have fewer heart attacks, and less need for repeat hospitalization. And she urges people who don't think it's worth their time to give cardiac rehab a try.
It's really crucial because it's not just about exercise. It's about learning how to eat, learning to stop smoking, controlling your stress factors. It's really a crucial part of having a healthy life after your heart event.
I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. It's 39 degrees outside our studios right now. Sunny today, high in the upper 40s. Tonight, cloudy on little lows, maybe in the upper 20s. Tuesday, chance of rain in the afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy, high in the 40s. 40% chance of precip on Tuesday. Tuesday night, rain likely in the evening. Otherwise, cloudy, low in the 30s. Rain likely on Wednesday, mainly afternoon. High could reach into the 50s. Rain on the overnight Wednesday, low in the mid-40s. Rain likely Thursday in the morning, and high in the 50s. Cloudy on the overnight Thursday night, and looks sunny for the weekend. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Welcome to the table. Chef Bill here. Chef Bill's Table coming every Monday around this time. HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So we meet and discuss food events, holidays, recipes, techniques, anything that kind of comes up during the week, crosses our minds. Let's see. Food celebrations. Eating the week, 25th, clam chowder. Speaking of chowder, the Rotary, local Rotary, will have a soup cook-off next Monday at Hunterton Central High School. Chowder is always good. We want to talk about seafood today anyway, so later on in the show we'll like to use a chowder, whether you make a batch or even deconstructed, as a base for serving fish. Good way to flavor the fish. Can you kind of stretch it out with some clams or any shellfish that you might desire. But today it's going to be, seafood. The other day we were talking about the fish that you buy, frozen fish, of course, frozen at sea, good nutritional option for raw fillets or steaks. You get a little bit of textural difference sometimes when they're cooked, although some fish do freeze better than others. But I'm talking the ones that are already processed and coated. Now, I'm sure there's a reason for them and people that like them, but if you're trying to count your calories and watch your sodium intake, then sometimes these products can get maybe a little bit too much, or more than what you'd like anyway. And you're paying money for processing. We like to make our own toppings and coatings because we can control ingredients like fats and salts, and also alter the flavor. It does work out to be more economical. Instead of paying somebody to do all that work for you and pay for the breading weight, we'd like to buy the product fresh and take care of it ourselves. So when we're cooking fish, first of all, of course, the decision what type of fish would we like. And there's, I'd say a fair amount of variety out there, although we tend to see the same things at market, in the supermarkets at least. If we go to a good fish market, you might have some other interesting specimens there. The fresh, I prefer it. Although there's a couple of varieties that you only can, obviously, things like king crab legs, Chilean sea bass, always frozen. That's how it's shipped, whether it's portions or the sides. Even if in the fish market, if you see it not frozen, the sides do come frozen. And then the fish market will cut into the size portions that we need. Sometimes you'll see whole fillets in the display case, and they have to tell you if it was previously frozen. Years ago, they would defrost something and pass it off as fresh, and fresh just meaning not frozen at that time. But now the labeling laws, you have to know if it was previously frozen, and there's nothing wrong with that. Actually, if you're worried about spoilage, of course, fish, does not. Not very forgiving there. It doesn't have a long shelf life. And unless the market's getting deliveries every day and selling a lot of product, you can always tell also the appearance. It starts to get a little dried out looking. You can tell by the smell. The proteins break down rather quickly in seafood, so it's always a giveaway there. So getting fresh product, depending on where you are, best to use species that might be fairly local. The boats that are out of the ocean, if you see a term day boat, that means the boat was only out overnight. So the fish, they keep it in a very cold temperature, obviously, down almost to the freezing point, not at freezing, but you keep it from, give it some better shelf life. But still, if the boat was out for several days, then the fish comes back, it's in the market for a day, then it gets shipped. It could be 3 or 4 days from when it was caught. And that's why I think a lot of times when you buy fresh, people say, well, buy it and use it the same day. Don't try to hold it for a few days unless you know you caught it yourself. And this is where frozen varieties can be a little bit easier, especially if you're trying to budget your time, plan your meals ahead, if you can't run to the store every day. I found mahi-mahi is very good, even as portions hold up well in the freezer. And when they're cooked, they don't, there's enough. It's not a real fatty fish, but there's enough in there to keep it from drying out. And, of course, you have your cod and related fish, haddock, pollock. Hake is good. A less expensive variety. The problem is your cod's getting fished out. Seems to be ample supply, but it can get pricey. There might be some other white fish out there that maybe are less expensive and also a little more sustainable. We've been using pollock lately instead of haddock for, say, a fish and chip or something like that. Pollock will actually bake up pretty well also. You want to make sure that when that's landed, of course, it's come in fresh. Monkfish, sometimes called goosefish, very ugly fish, but just the tails are used. Those are very good. I know down here off our shores in the New Jersey metro, in the New York area, monkfish has always landed locally and skate, or you might see it called Raja. Skate wings are pretty good, although, again, they have a very short shelf life, but when they come in, it's a treat. It has the texture of scallops, kind of the meat, very refined, defined lines on it. Usually, I mean, it would be a quick sauté. Pretty interesting fish, though. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and then we'll come back and discuss more about what to look for in the market and then what to do with it. Chef Bill's Table. Who's that number? It's the
only one you want. At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hiding Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
All right, we're back at the table here, Chef Bill's Table, talking a little bit about fish. So we've got the frozen fish that we may want to use. Again, if we have to shop a few days ahead, you can let them slack out, defrost slowly in the refrigerator. And what happens, probably that's in the textural change. When things are frozen, even though they're frozen quickly, you lose a little bit of moisture when it defrosts, so you may want to have a paper towel under it. And before you cook it, you may want to pat it dry, especially if you're trying to get a crispy crust on it or saute it or broil it. Just get rid of some of that water there. So frozen at sea, again, nutritionally, very good. No chance of spoilage. You don't want to see ice crystals and things in the package. If it's block frozen, of course, there will be a little bit of liquid around it. It kind of protects it. If you're getting stuff that's previously frozen. You may want to find out how long it's been slacked out. Again, not the end of the world. It could be actually fresher than something that was sitting on a boat for a week waiting to come in. So for a lot of people, that's what you may use at home. And now the other question, of course, is point of origin. Is it where it's landed? Is it where it's processed? Again, labeling laws are changing on that. There's always controversy about how much information we put on there. But you may want to find out, ask the clerk there if he or she knows the source. Farming versus wild, another issue out there. Aquaculture, of course, has come a long way. And years ago, it was only, I think, you know, trout, catfish. Of course, shrimp have been farmed for centuries over in Eastern Asia. The farmed salmon, East Coast, I mean, Atlantic salmon, probably the only ones you're going to find are farm-raised. Very, very tough to get the wild. Pacific salmon, different story, although there are different seasons and different fat contents, you know, sources. Of course, going to be more expensive. Just like with cattle, commercially raised beef is a lot less money than grass-fed or beef or bison. It's the time, it's the extra cost of doing it. And the two do coexist. There's nothing wrong with a good farmed fish, although some of the practices in the past have been a little bit questionable. I think everyone's getting up to speed with sustainability and keeping the environment a little cleaner. There may still be some practices out there, some varieties that may be a little too intensely farmed, but say you see Norwegian salmon. Norwegian salmon, well, they were early on adapters of farming. So that tells you the source of it. It's still going to be farmed salmon. Wild salmon mainly, as I said, the Pacific varieties. We try at the restaurant. Of course, we use the Norway salmon or Scottish. Scottish is very good. And again, sustainable. They're farmed right in the they're in a almost like a wild environment. It's not like they're sitting in a tub in the middle of a desert somewhere and somebody's pumping water into it. And they will have other varieties of marine life out there to, you know, to keep the waters clean, things like that. So source is pretty important when it comes to farming, if you can find out. Consistent flavor is an advantage. You'll have species trout, of course, unless you're a fisherman. We get lake trout. Trout has been for years been a staple. Arctic char, although it is wild, a lot of that is farmed now. It looks like a smaller salmon. A little more expensive. Very nice, though. Very nice fish, not quite as fatty. The one I've been using lately, the Bronzino, the Mediterranean sea bass. And again, it grows wild in several areas, but big business now is the commercially raised Bronzino. Very consistent when it's brought to market. Very good fish. Sold whole. If you're in the mood to do a roasted whole fish or a grilled whole fish, that's seems to be the choice now of a lot of chefs. Bronzino. So when we're deciding, so the farm-raised fish like flounder, fluke, things like that, never going to, of course, those aren't farm-raised. I had a guest ask one night if the flounder was wild-caught. Of course it's wild-caught. There's still a lot of fish harvested out there. And they say some restaurants and fish markets are trying to bring in maybe other species that would have been tossed aside, maybe. People don't. Sometimes it's just coming up with a market name for it. The Chilean sea bass isn't a bass. It's Patagonian toothfish, but they call it Chilean sea bass. Oh, it sounds like something I'd want to try cooking. A lot of variations on flounder, and a lot of them are termed sole, S-O-L-E, lemon sole, gray sole, turbot. And those are whitefish, and those can be purchased frozen also. They're thinner fillets. You have to be a little careful not to overcook. I think that's another thing that kind of gets people when they're cooking fish at home is the tendency to overcook. Sometimes they're looking for something broiled. They want it to be brown, and it's really not going to happen with a thin piece of fish. You know, the ovens don't get quite hot enough. Your pans might not get hot enough like a commercial, like a restaurant can. But we can top the fish and bake it or broil it, or we can steam it or simmer it in a type of sauce or soup base that would really do well with it. I like the I like simmering in the sauce or the soup because you capture all the juices. You get full nutritional benefit out of the fish, and it's a lower temperature, tends not to overcook it as much. But toppings, in the 50s or so, process was developed for called oven frying. And I've used this technique for chops, like veal or pork chops. I've used it for lamb chops and also for fish. So what you're doing with oven frying instead of deep frying is you end up using a little bit less oil. You need a hot oven. You put the oven up to as high as it can go, which could be most ovens probably close to 500 degrees. And you're going to coat the fish. Now, by coating it, we're going to put some kind of breadcrumbs so we get that nice crunchy texture. And usually when we coat any meat or fish, we do what's called a standard breading procedure. So we dredge the fish in seasoned flour, and then we have some kind of liquid. Now, the liquid could be egg wash, it could be buttermilk, it could be a combination of buttermilk and egg white. If you want a little more protein, what happens is the protein helps the breading stick to the fish. If you want something very low fat, egg whites and buttermilk would be the way to go. Try not to use, the egg wash is fine, beaten egg, or egg and a little bit of milk. And you want panko seems to be the one that works best now. Everybody likes the panko crumbs. They're nice and crunchy. And if you really even want a more crunchy appearance on the outside and flavor, you can saute the breadcrumbs first, and that way you can actually flavor them. So they'll be starting cooking them, and then finish them in the oven. You'll get that nice crunchy coating. So you have your oven at 500 degrees, and what you need is you could either do a rack on a sheet pan, like a cake drying rack, so the heat can get all the way around the coated fish, or you can spray the pan with vegetable coating. What I find, if you have to do that, you'll usually have to flip the fish halfway through, or whatever you're doing, a chop or a thicker piece of meat, oven frying. So you have your flour, your liquid, and then your breadcrumb. And if you're doing this ahead of time, of course, have it on some wax paper or deli paper, even with a little extra crumbs around it, so it stays nice. You want it nice and dry on the outside. And then simply drizzle a little bit of oil or vegetable spray, or if you've sautéed the breadcrumbs, you've already got that part covered. You've got them flavored a little bit, and there's a little bit of oil on them, so that they'll brown up nicely in the oven. So 500 degrees takes about 10 minutes per inch of thickness for fish. And this is something you'd want to do with thicker pieces. Very thin fillets, I would prefer to just do them in the pan, which will be another technique. You could do the same breading and sauté them. You could use canola oil, olive oil, clarified butter. Don't use whole butter because when it melts, the milk solids in it will brown too much. Whole butter is great for making a sauce, but doesn't get to a high enough temperature for a quick sauté. We've got a break for news at the half hour here. We're going to come back and talk about some of these other toppings that we can do. We've got casino. We've got all the old buttery Ritz Cracker or Hi-Ho's or whatever. I don't know all the brands that are out there, but that's another good topping for a fish. If you don't want the oven fried with its with it totally coated, just a nice topping. And, again, I'll use unsalted butter, the crushed cracker crumbs, and then you can flavor it the way you want. I always put a little bit of basil and oregano in there. You could put a little hot pepper if you like, granulated onion or garlic. Flavor it up and taste it. You can taste the crumbs, and what that's going to do is season the fish. It gets a nice buttery coating on the top of the fish, kind of protects it from drying out. And again, their crackers are buttery flavor. You don't have to use a lot of butter for this. You just want to moisten the crumbs. You don't have to use a lot of butter. And you can use olive oil if you want also. So after the news break, we'll come back and look at a couple of other ways we can wrap or coat, do something interesting with our fish. Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
Donald Trump is the real deal.
Donald Trump is the big winner of the South Carolina Republican primary. Political expert Dr. Sean Foreman of Barry University saying that Trump's victory gives his campaign a lot of legitimacy.
We have to give him huge credit after New Hampshire and South Carolina.
Trump beat his closest rivals by about 10% in the Palmetto State. The 45-year-old man suspected of killing six people and wounding two in a series of shootings around Kalamazoo, Michigan is being arraigned today. Kalamazoo County Prosecutor Jeff Gettings says Jason Dalton acted alone and picked his victims at random between fares as an Uber driver. The deposition of Bill Cosby's wife is expected to go on as planned today, despite attempts by her lawyers to delay the questioning. Camille Cosby is due to answer questions related to assault allegations her husband faces. Apple CEO Tim Cook is calling for a government commission to discuss the relationship between intelligence, technology, and civil liberties. Cook sent the company's employees an email early this morning thanking them for their support during Apple's legal battle with the government. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Did you know that more than 100,000 Americans have a serious lung disease that very few people know about? I'm Dr. David Lederer, co-director of the New York Presbyterian Columbia University Interstitial Lung Disease Program. Idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, or IPF, is a severe, irreversible disease causing scarring of the lungs. IPF can seem similar to other diseases, so many people with IPF may be undiagnosed or misdiagnosed for years. Symptoms include a persistent dry cough, shortness of breath, and a Velcro-like crackle in the lungs, which a doctor can hear. IPF generally affects people over 50 and is slightly more common in men, with a 5-year survival rate worse than many cancers. Diagnosis is important, as treatments are now available. The Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation strongly recommends you see a pulmonologist if you experience shortness of breath that limits your ability to walk up stairs or hills, or an unexplained persistent cough lasting longer than 8 weeks. Go to pulmonaryfibrosis.org to learn more about IPF.
We're back at the table here. Listen to Eric Clapton here. Great artist. So for our fish, so we decide if we want to bake the fish, oven frying, the topping with the butter cracker is good. Casino topping is always nice also, and this is a way to even, you know, you could trick things out a little bit. Of course, standard casino would be bacon and peppers. And we'll chop the bacon, make a topping with that to put on, bake your fish, again, protect it, flavor it. A crab casino is even nicer, and you may choose to not use the bacon in that. And you could use any kind of crab meat, blue crab shredded. It doesn't have to be fancy, fancy jumbo lump. And get something a little bit less expensive, but now you'll take, say, an ordinary fish and you're going to add a little crab flavor to it. So with a casino crab topping, Very nice way to do fish. If the fish is very thick, you may want to bake it a little bit first and then put the topping on, because the crab meat, you know, the topping is pretty much cooked. You don't want it to burn too much. But if it's a thin fillet, absolutely just put the topping right on. Oreganata, classic Italian. Again, if you want something very simple, olive oil, breadcrumbs, and season it yourself. This way you can decide if you want extra salt or not. Oregano, obviously important. Maybe a little basil and parsley. Garlic, if you like it. And what I do with these is I will add a little bit of tomato product to the mix. So I've got the oreganata crumbs, a little tiny bit. Of course, we always have some marinara sauce on hand, a little tomato sauce. I used to do in a spinach stuffing. We used to actually dash a little bit of ketchup in there. Little secret. Ketchup's one of those perfect little sauces anyway. But a little tomato product in the oreganata helps moisten it up, a little bit extra flavor in there. Ground nuts. Always a nice one. A classic macadamia crusted mahi. We used to run that quite a bit. Macadamia nuts, of course, very expensive, but good, tasty. And what we do is we'll process them with some breadcrumbs. A couple of reasons. You want to spread out the flavor a little bit. Also, when you're processing nuts, you don't want it to turn into like a nut butter. There's a lot of oil in the nuts. So we'll always mix maybe two parts, say it's macadamias, two parts nuts to one part dry breadcrumbs, and then pulse the processor, get everything finely ground. And what we'll do is just brush the fish with oil or butter and dip it, press it into the nut mixture. And then you can bake the fish after that. When you're baking fish, probably 450 is a good temperature to use. You want fairly high temperature. You don't want to, if you're doing roasted whole fish, you could go a little bit longer if you're roasting a whole side of salmon or something like that. But 450 is good for baking fish. Cooks it quickly enough, you don't have too much moisture lost. Pecans are good. Almonds are great. We'll do an almond crust, which really, the almonds don't really need that much breadcrumb with them. You can actually just grind up some almonds. Again, pulse the food processor so you don't turn it into almond butter. A little bit of breadcrumb. We like a little bit of curry in that. Works very well. Hazelnut, if you have, of course, skinned hazelnuts, I think you'd want. You don't want to go through all that process of roasting them and skinning them, but if you find hazelnuts, another nice topping for fish. You know, a little extra nutrition. If you're going to get some oils and fats, these are good ones to use. The ground nuts with some breadcrumbs. And again, these, just brushing the fish with a little bit of oil or butter, melted butter rather, and then just so the nuts will stick on there fine enough to cook. Potato crust. I ran these for a long time. Or even sweet potatoes. I've seen that. We used to get requests for that. That goes actually nice with a fish like mahi-mahi or swordfish, some thicker cut. Shred up fresh sweet potato, and we like to brush the fish with a little bit of mustard first, Dijon mustard, and that's kind of, mustard's a flour, it kind of provides something for the sweet potato to stick onto. The other way, regular potatoes, we've done them raw, done them cooked, you shred them on the box grater. I prefer the cooked potatoes, especially if you have a leftover, you know, boiled or baked potato. That's what the dish came out of, years ago. Using, had a lot of baked potatoes, you always have some left, what are we going to do with them? You know, you make soup. And we found that shredding them into hash browns, the cooked potatoes, does very well. They brown up nicely. If you're using raw potatoes, you've got to use them right away before they start to oxidize. You can keep them in water, but then you have to wring them out pretty well, get all that extra water out of them. For doing potato crusted, we like to start with a thin layer of the shredded potatoes and some hot oil or clarified butter. And a little nonstick pan is good. These are usually good cooked one order at a time. You could set them up ahead if you want, but we like to get the potatoes started and place the fish, the seasoned fish. Salmon would be the one, or mahi, something a little bit thicker. Put them in the potatoes, get them nice and brown, then you can just flip the whole thing over. Looks like a nice hash brown patty, and then finish it in the oven, your 450 degree oven. If you want to do several of them, you could make your little potato patties and place them on top of the fish. What it does, it's fish and, you know, fish and hash browns is pretty good. Again, protects the fish while it's cooking in the oven, so it's almost kind of steaming under that crust. And then with the potato crusted, of course, you want some kind of sauce underneath it. We used to do a simple melted leek cream. You could add broccoli to it or another vegetable if you'd like. But very good complete meal. The other one, Parmesan crusted. And this is for our thinner fillets. People like this one. So you take grated Parmesan and cornmeal and panko crumbs, and you combine one part each. So if you're doing a, you know, half cup of each, three-quarter cup of each, and mix that well together, you've got enough salt in there with the Parmesan. Also, that helps in the cornmeal. It helps crisp it up nice, but that makes a nice coating for fish. And we'll do those in the sauté pan. And you can finish those in the oven. So again, if you need to do several portions, you could just brown the fish in the sauté pan, put it on a baking tray, and then finish it when you need to. But this one, we would also use the seasoned flour and a little bit of egg wash, and then coat it with this Parmesan panko cornmeal crust. Nice and crispy, and we used to serve that with a warm tomato arugula salad, is what we called it. Especially in the wintertime, if you know, the tomatoes aren't always that great. Roasting them off is good. Summertime, of course, no problems. But even if you took the little grape tomatoes that are always available, those are nice and sweet. You could cut them in half and just blast them in a little bit of olive oil with some shallot or chopped onion. And you don't want to cook them all the way. Just cook them probably halfway. And then we will toss in arugula and just let it wilt. Don't cook it anymore. Just let the arugula wilt and dress it with a little bit of your favorite herb vinaigrette. And you've got a nice little accompaniment with the Parmesan-crusted fish. It's kind of a take on the veal Milanese you would see in Italian restaurants with the arugula salad on top. Always either the cutlet or the chop. Very, very nice dish. This is a way to adapt it to seafood. Another popular way, and I'd probably have to shut the restaurant down if we stopped doing this, Francais. And this is something that I think probably used to see it only in Italian restaurants. They would call it Francais in a French style. And, of course, there's many more things to French cooking than just coating it with egg batter. But I think part of it came with the butter sauce. The sauce for Francais is kind of like a beurre blanc, which was never really a classical sauce. That was more something that the home cook would make. You wouldn't be making, you know, a fancy hollandaise or a bechamel or things like that. This is just a simple pan sauce. But the Francais, again, for thin fish, seasoned flour. And we use the Wondra flour, by the way, and even for pan roasting. It's nice and crispy. Looks like a very, very fine cornmeal, I guess you would say. But this flour, very nice for coating fish. So flour, and then just in the egg wash, sometimes I think the restaurants may throw a little cheese in the egg wash. I don't. You need a hot pan and use either canola or olive oil or clarified butter. The oil is fine because you're going to finish the sauce with whole butter. Like we said before, cook with clarified, finish with whole. So you have your fish dipped in the egg. And again, you can do several pieces of this ahead and put them on a sheet pan and then finish baking them in a very hot oven. Make your sauce. You can hold your sauce. And then this is because it's always difficult for larger groups. If you're cooking one at a time, very easy to do these quick sautés. But if you try to do too much in a big pan, never really comes out. You're better off doing one or two portions at a time. Let them rest on a sheet pan and then finish them off in the oven. So we have our fillets dipped in the egg batter. And we don't do any breadcrumbs. We just do the egg batter. Again, the pan has to be almost to the smoke point so the egg congeals immediately. So you've got a nice brown egg coating on the fish. It's a brown, flip it over, and again, slide it onto your plate or slide it onto a baking pan. The sauce, simple white wine and lemon juice and whole butter and some parsley. And we use unsalted butter. And what happens is when you reach the ratio of 50% fat, 50% liquid, you have a temporary emulsion form. So you're cooking down, and it's kind of, you're cooking down the acid, the wine, the white wine. Don't use a sweet wine, use a dry wine. And your lemon juice, you've got that acid in there, and you throw in your butter pats and really just have to swirl the pan. You don't really have to boil it too much after that. You want to get that wine reduced to lemon and then add the butter, and it will thicken up just like you had flour in it. So very simple sauce. Of course, people like a chicken, seafood, veal, but good way to treat thin fillets of fish. We've got to take a break, quarter hour, for a couple of messages, and we'll be back at the table.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Music.
right, we're back at the table here, Chef Bill's table. See what we can do with some fish. So I guess the thing to remember is if you have some techniques, and of course your side dishes, accompaniments, you can go as fancy as you want or as simple as you want. You could say something, say the pollock was very nice in the market, nice fresh pollock. So let's broil it. And the broiler might take, you know, maybe 8 minutes in the oven under your broiler. But you could have, you could make a salsa fresca in the summertime or a parsley pesto if the basil wasn't available. The parsley pesto, same way, olive oil, Italian parsley, a little bit of garlic in there, salt and pepper. We're putting a topping on salmon. We call it a dill gremolata. Gremolata is classically lemons, grated lemon rind, and minced garlic and parsley. And traditionally, would be going on a veal shank ossobuco. So you've got that braised, stewed, savory veal, and then you put this lemon and raw garlic and parsley on there to brighten it up. So we'll do it with dill and lemon zest and a little bit of Parmesan cheese. I know it sounds weird to put cheese. Well, people like Parmesan. It puts the salt in there. But we've been sprinkling that. That's good on grilled fish. We do it on a cedar plank salmon. The salmon and the dill kind of go together. We're doing now for the bronzino roasted. Get the skin nice and crisp. And then I'm doing an orange basil vinaigrette. So the orange a little bit less acidic. Of course, oranges you think of in the winter anytime. The Florida oranges. So what I'll do is I'll zest a little bit of an orange and then squeeze fresh orange juice, you know, one or two oranges. And I will use a little bit of sherry vinegar because the orange, again, for a vinaigrette, very, very light. You want a little bit more sharpness in there. So sherry vinegar seems to work well. And then that little bit of Dijon mustard, again, the, you know, flour to help emulsify it. Then I whisk in the virgin olive oil, a little salt and pepper, and then fresh chopped basil after the dressing's made. And holds up pretty well because, again, the low acidity of the orange juice. But nice, bright sauce to go on roasted fish. We'll do is, especially if you have the fish, we'll stuff it with some lemon slices and fennel fronds. If you're doing some braised or roasted fennel with it, the orange goes very well with that. But, you know, something even in the wintertime to give your food a little bit of brightness there. So when you found your fish, I guess to recap, you know, if you're getting something frozen, defrost it slowly. Make sure you pat it dry. Roasting temperatures would be about 450 degrees. Oven frying, you want to crank the oven all the way up as high as it'll go, 500 or more if you can. It'll brown up your oven-fried product very nicely. The broiler. So if you're doing roasting, you give about 8 to 10 minutes for fillets. Broiled would be probably no more than 8 minutes. Oven frying, if you're doing thick pieces, 10 minutes per inch is plenty. Another way we can do it, pan roasting. And we'll do this with thicker cuts, again, halibuts, swordfish. I've done hake loin, thick pieces of cod, fish like that. Do well with that. We dust them with the Wonder Flour. Start them in the pan, get them brown on one side, and you don't need flour if you want to avoid the gluten. Just salt and pepper the fish, but the pan should be fairly hot, and the fish should be dry, and let it cook until it loosens up. Usually the pan or the grill will tell you when it's time to flip it. It'll be loosened up. Don't try to turn it too early, or you may get the fish sticking a little bit. But the pan roast, you need your oven and an oven-proof pan for thicker pieces, you'll get the presentation side brown, flip it over, and then finish it in the 450-degree oven. This way you have time to get other things ready. You want to roast the fish, we drain off the oil, make a pan sauce. Again, right now we're using roasted tomatoes. Was it the Times last week? The trilogy they had was cauliflower or tomatoes and olives and cauliflower. Or tomatoes, olives, and capers with cauliflower, I guess, three ingredients. Nice, or even roasted peppers. But if you have some of these on hand in your pantry, you can make quick sauces. Capers are always good. Good olives, not the standard California. Get some good olives if your store has an olive bar. Just get a small container or a small jar. Some good Kalamata's or good Mediterranean olives. Something maybe in a brine or a vinaigrette or even oil cured. Those add a nice piquant flavor to seafood or any vegetables you're serving with the seafood. Say capers, olives, roasted peppers are always good. I've used the piquillos are nice, nice and sweet. Now for a chowder, since it's chowder month or chowder week, I've done the New England style. You could do a Rhode Island with just the clear broth. But you have your diced potatoes, your bacon. You can kind of make this mixture separately. And if you were doing clams as a garnish, is always nice. Steam off a few little necks so you have that broth. And whether you're using cream or not, but you have this soup base and just simmer the fish in the soup, whether it's a red chowder, white chowder, clear chowder. Very good. If they're thin fillets, we like to roll them in what we call turbans. If you have the fillets in fairly thin strips, and just roll them up like a pinwheel and stand them on their end. And the fish, it's easier to see when they're done. Keeps them, it's easy to present the fish. We call them little papillettes or turbans. You can tell when they're cooked. You look in the middle of the fish and you just see that water, you know, kind of sitting there. Covered or uncovered, sometimes I'll even simmer them and finish in the oven. But very good way to do fish, thin fillets in a soup or a sauce base. If you have other fish, mahi always, even if it's not a center cut piece, cut some chunks, makes a very, very good chowder. So have your techniques. Remember your temperatures for broiling, for roasting, techniques for sautéing. That way you're not at the mercy of a single recipe. You can go to market, and when you see something nice, you say, okay, this is a thin fillet, I know I can do with it. This is a thicker one. You know, this is inexpensive, it's expensive. I want to stretch it out a little bit. Your choice. But that's really a way to have it. Instead of getting locked into one recipe, then you get to the store, the product's not there, then you have to change it up. So practice the techniques. Don't be afraid to cook fish at home. This is Chef Bill signing off, and we will visit with you next week. Thanks for listening.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.